Now, we would like to talk about something rather exciting, which is Star Wars.
No, that's the Superman theme tune, isn't it?
That's
sorry,
Superman
yes.
You can't hum. If you try and hum in the Superman theme tune, and then you stop for a sec, and then try and hum the Star Wars theme tune,
you get stuck back into the Superman theme tune again. Oh, no. Anyway.
If you start putting Star Trek in the 80s, and then you get really confused.
Oh, dear, yes. But that wasn't the kind of Star Wars we wanted to talk about, was it, Chris?
No, definitely not. Although, has anyone seen that third film?
Yes.
Don't. It's the dialogue. Even by Star Wars standards. Whew, mark my words. Dreadful. No, the type of Star Wars we want to talk about is the wonderful nuclear missile defense system.
Indeed. America's plan for full spectrum dominance.
System.
Oh, so it is.
Full
spectrum dominance.
Full spectrum dominance, Dan. But yes. Surely the National Missile Defense System is to protect us from those naughty rogue states.
Well, not entirely convinced. Firstly, it doesn't actually seem to work. They spent billions and billions of dollars on a system trying to shoot down their own missiles. So they've made ones that shoot from the ground, and then they've made their own ones to try and shoot down, and they can't even shoot down their own. So how is this system supposed to shoot down other people's missiles?
But surely that's a good thing. If they shot down their own, then the retaliatory strike wouldn't get through, and they'd look particularly silly, Dan.
Fair point there, Chris. Hadn't really thought about it like that before.
Yes, I think maybe you should check your facts a little bit better before criticising these systems for not working on their own missiles. It's other people's that they're worried about.
Yes. Obviously, one of the main things that's wrong with the whole thing, some people say, is the fact that since the Second World War, everyone's been trying really hard to stop the world building more nukes. And now the states have just been going their own way. Countries like China have been saying, well, what's the point? We might as well just start building some more nukes.
Is that because the Chinese are worried that they won't be able to engage in the wonderful system of mutually assured destruction anymore?
I think that may well be it, yes.
Yeah, but it's mutually assured. Out, wouldn't it?
It would, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think it's only fair to let everyone join in on mutually assured destruction.
Absolutely, yes.
The Chinese are perhaps worried that the Americans could launch a first strike against them, and then they wouldn't be able to do anything about it, and that this would give the Americans carte blanche to hit them.
Give them what, sorry?
Carte blanche.
Is that some kind of blanche?
It's like a tabula rasa.
Oh, I see. Splendid. Good.
It's like a what?
It's like a tabula rasa.
It's like, you know, when you go to a Greek restaurant.
Yeah.
No, that's tapas, surely.
No, it's a blank slate.
Ah, oh, yes, good.
A white card, you see.
Anyway.
You have no culture, do you, filthy, stinking hippies?
Filthy radicals don't.
No, just sorely disappointing.
We're working class, isn't it? We're working class.
Absolutely, yes. I'm certainly working class, yes.
I'm not. I'm classless. I have no class. I have many people who'll vouch for me.
So I've heard, yes. Anyway, mutually assured destruction.
Yes.
A good thing or a bad thing, do you think, Chris?
Mutually assured destruction. Well, interestingly, we do have a comment here on the subject of mutually assured destruction from the magnificent Tom Lehrer. Take it away.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. Down by the old maelstrom, there'll be a storm before the calm, and we cake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. Oh, we will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a Te Deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are. We will all burn together when we burn. There'll be no need to stand and wait your turn. When it's time for the fallout and St. Peter calls us all out, we'll just drop our agendas and adjourn. You will all go directly to your respective Valhallas. Go directly, do not pass, go, do not collect $200. And we will all go together when we go. Every Hottentot and every Eskimo. When the air becomes Uranus, we will all go simultaneous. Yes, we all will go together when we all go together. Yes, we all will go together when we go.
You're listening to Sheffield Live on 87.7 FM.
Okay, everybody, that was Tom Lehrer there explaining that if we're particularly lucky, the doctrine of mutually assured destruction should ensure that we do all go together when we go.
Marvellous.
And it seems perhaps that this national missile defence system is bringing us a little bit closer to that glorious coming together of minds.
What are you saying? You're some kind of filthy radical?
Yes.
Oh, okay, fair.
Frankly, it's very warm in here. I've been sweating quite profusely. I'm getting dirtier by the second.
It's not pretty.
No, it's not at all, no. Yes, so mutually assured destruction.
Mm. Yes, and why is that important to us here in Britain, I wonder?
Well, in Sheffield particularly, because it just so happens that the biggest monitoring station that the US needs to make the system work is in Yorkshire! Woohoo!
The wonderful Fylingdales, I believe.
Absolutely, yes.
They'll be using their early warning radar there. Mm. And do you know what that means for Britain?
Well, for Yorkshire particularly, it means we're a prime target, which is nice. And it means that we get to be friends with George Bush.
It's super, isn't it, though, that if anyone tries to bomb the Americans, they're going to have to nuke Yorkshire first.
Absolutely.
I think that we should be proud for sticking up to our American friends.
Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous.
And actually, they do own that territory, don't they? That isn't under British jurisdiction.
That's correct. It's actually officially American land, which is quite impressive. They must have dragged it a long way.
Yes, they have a big boat.
Yeah, presumably.
Or something. Mm. They must have maybe used barrels to float it.
Must have done,
getting it into the middle of the moors.
Yes, it's a task of Stonehenge-like proportions, frankly.
You should have seen the helicopters, all piloted by druids. Because...
Yes, yes.
Everybody knows it.
Special agent druids, of course.
Yes, CIA druids. Everyone knows it for one of these really big construction projects. The modern druid is your only man in the architectural sphere able to deal with that. This is what went wrong with the Millennium Dome.
Is it?
I'm not aware that druids built the Millennium Dome.
I haven't heard anything about that, no.
So probably... Almost definitely, had druids built the Millennium Dome, it would have lasted better.
Yes.
It would have worked better.
Mm.
And it would have been prettier.
It is quite pretty.
And they wouldn't have put it in a Bond film.
Did they put it in a Bond film?
They did. There's never been Stonehenge in a Bond film.
That's true.
See?
Mm. Fair point.
And no Jaws. That was disappointing.
No Jaws in a Bond film?
I always liked Jaws.
Okay. Good.
Not the shark.
Who? Oh, the guy with the teeth.
Yeah, with the teeth.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Anyway... Mm. We're digressing slightly.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, we're here to tell you, because we are dirty, filthy radicals at heart.
And dirty, filthy, filthy, dirty, filthy radicals.
In our spare time.
Sorry, excuse me.
Is that fine now?
Yes, yes.
You're done.
Yep.
Because we're only film critics in our spare time, we'd like to tell you what's happening today. Finished?
Yeah, sorry.
We'd like to tell you what's happening today. At maybe the Convergent Space on Matilda Street, which is where
Convergent Space on Matilda Street, yes.
With this action.
Absolutely. Well, today, Friday the 17th of June, we have a few things going on down there. At 1 o'clock, at the end of this show, there are workshops starting. There's one on non-hierarchical organising. What is that, exactly, non-hierarchical?
Non-hierarchical organising is where everyone sits around and disagrees with each other, and finally someone gets so bored that they go and do it on their own. and this is more democratic than the traditional... forms of vote-based organising.
Which is where we all sit around and vote, and then someone goes and does it on their own.
On their own.
Yeah. Splendid.
But then everyone feels more inclined to have a go at them afterwards. Mm. But seriously, guys, seriously, what are the benefits of known hierarchical organisation?
Well, seriously?
Seriously.
I'm not entirely sure I could think of any right now. There must be some.
Yes, I'm sure there are some. We There's do bound like to be. It, though.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, if something's organised... horizontal, vertically, then you don't get a say. But if it's horizontal, if it's something that's important to you, you can get involved. You can see how things are organised. I mean, that's the real difference between the convergence space and the G8 in terms of people asking us what are we for when we're talking about kind of the G8 and everything. We're for kind of this way of organising. The G8, they meet in secret. Only the most kind of powerful countries are allowed to meet there. The leaders of smaller countries not allowed in. Sometimes allowed in. Take a photo. Throw them out the back door. But convergent spaces, these big kind of meetings where everyone comes together in Seattle and Genoa and places like that and has a big party. It's kind of everyone who's kind of in the space is involved in how it works and how it runs, and you can come along and you can have your say. And that's a nicer way of doing things.
So you're saying that in our modern, wonderful, wonderful democracy that we have, that decisions come down from government from the top, and then they sort of filter down, everyone's told what to do, and no one really feels engaged, which is why we have this crisis of democracy, which people keep talking about, and people moan about voting systems. Whereas they keep us out, we're inviting everyone in. We're saying, come to our convergence space, feed in, we want to hear your opinions, and we want to be working with you. Even if you're not actually a dirty, stinking, filthy radical, but you're just sort of interested, you should still come down to Matilda Street. Is that, perchance, what you're saying?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okie dokie then. Anything else happening today? What else is happening beyond a non-hierarchical organisation?
Well, directly following on from that, we have a workshop on direct action, which is quite apt given that the one person will then have to go from the first meeting to go and do something. They'll need to know how.
Directly, yes. In an action kind of way.
Action-oriented sort of way, yes.
Could I interrupt?
Yeah, certainly.
There's also another workshop on at 1 o'clock.
Ah.
And it's all about being the change. You move forward for this change. You want the world to change, but it's about working yourself into being part of this change.
Rather than just demanding the change, but embodying it in the things you do, which is kind of what, kind of again, non-hierarchical organising is about. Instead of asking our leaders, will you do this? Do it this way. Please do it this way. Please, I've got a banner. Oh, go on. You go, okay, we're gonna start doing things ourselves and, kind of reclaim things and organise, embody those new kind of ways of doing things that we'd like to see in our own lives.
Mm.
Yeah, whether that means kind of running a co-op so you can, somewhere like, what's the name of it? New Roots, where they all volunteer to kind of supply food cheaply and kind of try and organise a new way of supplying foodstuff to people at a cheaper price that's, a lot healthier and nicer than the stuff you've got. I'm doing a big advert here.
It's
Sainsbury's, rubbish, New Roots
Spittle
quite
Hill.
Good.
Mm.
And yes. Also there's places like the Beanies,
Whole Food Co-op.
Up on, is that Barber Road or something? One of those.
Yes.
Crooks Valley Road, Barber Road. Who even knows anymore? It's all up there, up there going towards Walkley. Lovely, lovely, lovely melons. And the fruit's good too. But sorry for that one.
Oh, God!
Another terrible one.
That's an awful joke.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, dear.
I think Be the Change You're Trying to Create was a Gandhi quote originally. I think it was definitely
Gandhi. He's a wise man.
He certainly was. I think he's dead now.
Nice sandals.
He has died, I'll give you that. Nice sandals, nice outfits, creative.
Yeah. Mm. You can do a lot with a sash, can't you?
No, you certainly can.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway,
what's next?
We also have a workshop at the same time on rethinking security.
That's about kind of how we think about security in society in terms of, like we've been talking about Star Wars, this idea that security means having a very powerful kind of military system and missiles pointed at the air and hoping they won't kind of turn around and drop back down and that kind of thing. But actually means that a world perhaps without poverty, for example, might be more secure.
So almost like you want people
even.
Who don't want
you're
to
You're filthy radical
you.
As well, aren't
I
you?
I am, I'm very controversial. But yeah, sorry, you were saying?
Almost as if we should have people just not want to kill us by being nice to them rather than be nasty to them all the time and then shoot them when they're mean.
Yeah, there's the whole thing of perhaps if you didn't have an arms trade selling lots of arms to, third world countries and the Americans kind of training lots of people in the School of the Assassins and stuff like this, then perhaps, the world might be more secure and you wouldn't need military force to get there, because that kind of creates a lot of the problems of security rather than, as it proposes, being the solution to them. And I think that's what, how we might think about what a more secure world might actually look like in a kind of non-military way.
That's just smashing. That was actually a serious moment there. I'm impressed. That was words of wisdom. I hope you all took notes there. That is very important.
I'd like to, sorry about that. So I should apologise.
Sorry, anyone still listening after that, that was far too serious. We apologise. The notion of filthy radicals giving sensible suggestions and expecting people to listen to them. Yes, everyone say blah, blah for a minute.
I feel better.
That's far, far better. In fact, in the spirit of silliness, we are now going to give you the wonderful, wonderful Fraggle Rock.